Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
You're willing to identify corruption within the NYPD?
I am.
I gotta make the crew whole again. I'm not starting a war with the secret police.
Obstruction. Racketeering.
I need a little favor.
And murder.
Involving active duty police officers, including yourself?
Correct.
Do you consider yourself more of a police officer or a criminal?
Depends on the day.
Shades of Blue, the explosive final season, premieres June 17th on NBC.
So the final season of NBC's Shades of Blue debuts next Sunday at 9 Central, where Ray Liotta leads the tight-knit crew of Brooklyn detectives as Lieutenant Matt Wozniak, along with Jennifer Lopez and Drea De Mateo. And there are a few movies that have made an impact in American pop culture than Oscar and Golden Globe-nominated screen classic Goodfellas, which we first saw on the big screen nearly three decades ago, where Ray played mob associate Henry Hill. And to talk about it all is Ray Liotta. Hey, Ray.
Morning. How are you?
Excellent. You know, I know you're from Union, New Jersey. You're a Jersey guy. You went to school at the University of Miami. And at the time, I've heard you say you had no idea what you wanted to do. And acting really wasn't at the top of your list at the time.
It wasn't on any list. It's nothing that I even thought of doing. It came time to go to college. I didn't want to go to college. My dad bested just go wherever I want and take whatever I want. So I think I walked out of my SATs. At least that's what they call it. I think they call it something different now. Mm-hmm. But I was lucky enough to get into the University of Miami. I was just going to take liberal arts classes, got to the head of the line finally, and they told me I had to take a math and history. I said, well, I don't even want to be in college, and never mind taking math and history. Right next to it was for the drama department. So I took a step over and said I'd be a drama major because I had an elective with my best friend Gene, and we had this drama class where we did children's theater and just kind of messed around. I'm not proud of it, but it was just something to do. Excuse me, pretty girl. Asked me if I was going to go out for the play that night, audition for it. I said no. She berated me. I went out for the play, and I got in it. And the first thing I did, I was a dancing waiter in cabaret. But there was an acting teacher there by the name of Robert Buckets Lowry, and he was a great teacher. And I just started, and then I liked it. And like anything, I started getting, you know, people saying nice things and doing the plays, and I decided to stay with it, and here I am.
I was going to say, within a few years of graduating, you moved to New York, and you got your first screen role in an NBC daytime soap, which I think was Another World, right?
Yeah, I got that 6 months out of college.
That's pretty good. I mean, that's
right away, actually, yeah,
and that's Joey Perini, kind of a nice guy role. And then you moved to, you were there for a while. You did that show for a while, and then a few years you moved to L.A. and made your way quickly to the big screen. What made you say, you know what, I like television, okay, it's done well for me, it's my first thing out of the box. What made you say, hey, I want to get into the movies?
Because that's at that time in the 70s when I was in college, they made great movies then. And I just really liked the thought of making a movie. So I quit the soap and moved to L.A., and nothing happened for like 5 years, and then I got my first movie, Something Wild, when I was 30. And it was a great first movie, and then things started happening from then.
Yeah, it was Jonathan Demme, Jeff Daniels, Melanie Griffith. Yeah. First Golden Globe nomination as well. You were kind of a crazy guy in this thing, but, you know, for this being your first big movie and getting a Golden Globe nomination, that must have told you, hey, you know, I'm getting into the right business here.
I said, you know, I'm going to go after this. And once I set my mind to it, I just, you know, I'm extremely competitive, and I was off and running, and there was nothing that was going to stop me, at least in my mind.
Sure.
So even when I moved to L.A., for the 5 years, nothing really happened, a couple failed series, some guest shots. But I started studying with this guy, Harry Mastro George, who was just a great acting teacher. And I just, you know, like what they say, luck is when preparation meets opportunity. So I kept preparing myself, and then finally the opportunity presented itself.
Then came Field of Dreams, Shoeless Joe Jackson, another nice guy role, Kevin Costner, James Earl Jones, Burt Lancaster, which must have been pretty wild. I mean, that was another groundbreaking movie. That's a big part of American pop culture.
Yeah, yeah. I did a movie between Something Wild and Field of Dreams called Dominic and Eugene. This beautiful story. I played a medical student and a fraternal twin.
So in came 1990, and really big movie for you alongside Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci, Lorraine Bracco, and Martin Scorsese's Goodfellas. I mean, that was one of the big pop culture movies of the century.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't start out that way. I mean, it's just over the years, it's just, you know, people just keep responding to it. I mean, to this day, I have like 15-year-old kids coming up to me and, you know, as if the movie had just come out last week. You know, usually like their dad will turn them on to it. Same thing with Goodfellas. Their parents turn them on to it, and it's relatable, and they're both, you know, both made so well. They're timeless movies. So I got very, very lucky with that. Because usually sometimes it's, you know, you do a movie and people see it that, you know, sometimes halfway through the movie, they're just thinking about, all right, what they're going to eat and what they're going to do next. Never mind have a movie that lasts for so long. So I was extremely fortunate with those two.
Funny you
Doesn't
say
that. Happen much.
Yeah, funny you say that. My when I was telling you before a call that I brushed up on Ray Liotta and watched, I actually watched The Modern Family too while we were at it, but my 15, which was very funny. My son and I watched Goodfellas, and that's the first time he watched it ever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was one of those moments where it was kind of late when we started it last night, you know, school night and whatever, and he wanted to stay up and finish. He's like, oh, I'm not walking away from this. This is an amazing,
yeah.
It's an amazing.
Did you let him stay up?
Oh, I let him stay up. Oh, you betcha. We finished the whole thing. You betcha.
What did he like about it? Just the fact that it's a true story and that actually happened?
That he was surprised that it was a true story, which it is, you know, based on Henry Hill and that background. But he just thought the camaraderie that happened between all these guys and all these buddies and what they were able to kind of do in the world of crime was pretty wild. I mean, I've really never, you know, he hasn't seen The Godfather even yet or Casino or these other ones. So that's the first time he's seen something like that. So, yeah, it was, he just thought it was cool. And it was the epitome of cool. You know, you walking around in your 1960s and the 1950s and stuff. I mean, that's some pretty cool stuff.
Has he seen Field of Dreams?
He has seen Field of Dreams. Absolutely. Absolutely.
He probably saw when he was younger, huh?
Well, and
that's a great father-son movie.
It is absolutely a great father-son. And so is this, and we'll get to this in a little bit, but we also watched Shades of Blue together. And last night he goes, wait a minute. That's the guy from that crime drama we were watching the other day. I'm like, yeah, you got it. You got a lot of good connections there. But yeah, based on a true story, you know, Henry Hill, how did you prepare for this? Did you listen to the FBI tapes? How did you kind of capture the role of Henry Hill?
I listened to the tapes. Nick Pileggi, who wrote the movie along with Martin Scorsese, the director, Nick Pileggi wrote the book, which was originally called Wise Guys.
Right.
So they had done that. They had Nick Pileggi had the tapes of Henry for the book, and I listened to the tapes all the time. Back then, it was just cassettes, so I would stick it in my mom's car and I'd drive around and just listen to it. And the most annoying thing about the whole thing was Henry was eating potato chips the whole time. So to listen to somebody chomping away on potato chips while they're talking is quite annoying. So there was a little insight into Henry just from that.
Yeah, he just did whatever he wanted to do.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
Did you have an opportunity to meet him before you filmed the movie, or was it an afterwards meet?
No, I met him after. I got a call because he had just seen the movie, and he asked to meet me in out here in L.A. With his brother. So he wanted to meet me at a bowling alley. So I went over to the Valley and went and met him, and the first thing he said was, thanks for not making me look like such a bad guy. And I'm saying,
really?
I'm not looking like a bad guy. Yeah, exactly. I said, did you watch it or what?
Did you see
what?
It? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, maybe it was a little tamer than the life he really lived.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Working with Scorsese, De Niro. Did you get to know De Niro very well? I've heard, he's on the set to do his scenes and he's back to his trailer or gone from the set. I mean, did you get to really know this guy at all?
No, not really. Joe and I were staying at the same hotel, so I kind of hung out with Joe a little more, not so much Bob.
Now, I know that, there were several people up for this role of Henry Hill, Tom Cruise, Sean Penn, Alec Baldwin, Val Kilmer. Was it De Niro that recommended you from the part, from seeing you in something?
I've heard various stories. Mm-hmm. I've heard that. I also, I was at the Venice Film Festival in Italy. Marty was there with Last Temptation of Christ, and I saw him. I was on the second floor looking down at the balcony, and I saw him, and I made a beeline down because I hadn't seen him in months. And I just wanted him to remember my face because he still was casting it. And I said hello, and he said basically he was surrounded by bodyguards because there was a lot of controversy with the movie that he had there. And when I reached to say hello to him, the bodyguards pushed me away, and I just said, no, I just want to say hi to Marty, that's it, nothing crazy. And he said that's when he realized that that's kind of what Henry would do, because Henry wasn't a tough guy. If all of a sudden, the bodyguard said something, and then I challenged them back to, a fight or get your hands off me or start swearing, that wouldn't have been very Henry-like, because Henry got as far as he did because he kept his mouth shut, and he did.
And he kept his cool.
What the other people wanted him to do.
Yeah.
He wasn't out whacking people or doing anything. He had that one fight, but that was only because somebody was messing with his girlfriend. So he wasn't exactly a tough guy. And Marty had only seen really Something Wild, in which I played pretty much a maniac in that. So I think it was from that, and then from what I heard that De Niro mentioned hints about me.
Gotcha. Well, there was such amazing screen chemistry between you guys. Also, Lorraine Bracco. It was a big movie. Did you know at the time how big this was going to be?
No, not at all. That was only my fourth movie, so I wasn't really movie savvy. I don't think Field of Dreams had come out yet. So, no, I just made it because I was working with my, when I decided that I really did want to act in the 70s, there was a great period of making movies back at that time.
Sure.
And Marty and Bob and Coppola and Gene Hackman and Robert Duvall, all these people kind of led the way. It was really great acting. It was more about the anti-hero. But I had no idea it was going to be what it is. I just was so excited just to work with these people that I was watching on the screen.
AFI's top 10 and 10 classic American film genres, number 2 gangster film of all time. Library of Congress deemed it culturally significant and selected it for preservations in the National Film Registry. Time Magazine's all-time movies. At the time, Roger Ebert said it was the number 1 movie of 1990. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, you go into acting and you act and you have your own reasons and things that you're going for and what you want to work on. But you're also doing things for people to see.
Sure.
So the fact that people are still seeing it, I mean, at the Tribeca Film Festival, they celebrated the movie because it was, 25 years that it's that since we had made it. So to be in something that people are still responding to is very rare in this business. And it's a nice feeling.
What's the line that people yell at you the most?
Used to be, you're a funny guy. I used to hear that a lot. And then a lot of people, for some reason lately, people want me to say Karen.
Jeez. Nice.
Where's the stuff that I left, Karen?
I flushed it down the toilet.
You what?
What was I supposed to do? They were all over the house.
Karen, that was worth $60,000. I need that money. That's all we got.
What was I supposed to do? They
Karen!
Had a search warrant. They were in everything.
That's all the money that we had, Karen. I was dependent on that. Why did you do that?
I had to.
Karen, what?
They were going to find it.
Karen, they would have never found it.
Very excited that we're able to see you in a role every week. And I've heard you say this before, that, you know, when you started in the business, TV was a place where you'd go when you thought their movie career was over. But that's not the case anymore. That TV's a hot place to do these really cool shows.
No question about it. The landscape has just changed. And if you're holding on to the way things were, you're going to, you know, be unemployed for a while. And they're making more character driven things on television now, especially now with cable. Shades of Blue is an NBC show, but it's like a cable show. They realize what they have to compete with, and the powers that be at NBC are really letting the writers write what they want to write, and as long as the censors are fine with it. And I'm actually kind of surprised with some of the things we're getting away with, but I you know, things have changed. Now movies are more about the comic strips, more of the big tentpole movies, as they say, you know, where they want to make a killing, a big killing, with just one, you know, one movie or two, and they're usually these, you know, comic book kind of movies.
Well, not even that.
But changed a lot.
You're in the right time slot for this show too. I mean, I think that's the right time slot for them. That's maybe why you can get away with a little bit.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah.
No way we could do this at 9 o'clock.
Now, your character on the show, Matt Wozniak, corrupt New York City police lieutenant, runs a squad of detectives who takes bribes, plants evidence, and shakes down drug dealers in their precinct. The character's pretty gritty.
Yeah, no question about it. Although I was watching a documentary about this guy Dowd, or O'Dowd, and about his antics in the 70s, and if anything, we're kind of calm compared to what this guy was doing in this documentary. It was fascinating. But, you know, there's a lot of temptation in that kind of field, and some people succumb to it. My character thinks he's doing the right thing, even though he's crossing the line. He still thinks he's able to keep more control and make the area that he's in charge of safer by limiting the amount of bad guys, because he's a realist. He realizes that people are going to be doing this, whether it's against the law or not. So if some way that you can control it, he can control it, the better it is for him.